Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Monday, October 10th. I'm reading from the New International Version, and we're picking up in the book of Judges, then we'll be in Psalm 129 and the end of Matthew 19. In Judges today, we'll talk about two more tribal leaders or judges that help deliver the nation of Israel, Ehud, we're not really sure, and then Shamgar. All right, here we go. We're going to start in verse 12. Again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and because they did this evil, the Lord gave Eglon, king of Moab, power over Israel. Getting the Ammonites and Amalekites to join him, Eglon came and attacked Israel, and they took possession of the city of Palms. The Israelites were subject to Eglon, king of Moab, for 18 years. Again, the Israelites cried out to the Lord, and he gave them a deliverer, Ehud, a left-handed man, the son of Gera, the Benjamite. The Israelites sent him with tribute to Eglon, king of Moab. Now Ehud had made a double-edged sword about a cubit long, which he strapped to his right thigh under his clothing. He presented the tribute to Eglon, king of Moab, who was a very fat man. After Ehud had presented the tribute, he sent on their way those who had carried it. But on reaching the stone images near Gilgal, he himself went back to Eglon and said, "Your Majesty, I have a secret message for you." The king said to his attendants, "Leave us." And they all left. Ehud then approached him while he was sitting alone in the upper room of his palace and said, "I have a message from God for you." And the king rose from his seat. Ehud reached with his left hand, drew the sword from his right thigh, and plunged it into the king's belly. Even the handle sank in after the blade, and his bowels discharged. Ehud did not pull the sword out, and the fat closed in over it. Then Ehud went out to the porch. He shut the doors of the upper room behind him and locked them. After he had gone, the servants came and found the doors of the upper room locked. They said, "He must be relieving himself in the inner room of the palace." They waited to the point of embarrassment. But when he did not open the doors of the room, they took a key and unlocked them. There they saw their Lord fallen to the floor, dead. While they waited, Ehud got away. He passed by the stone images and escaped to Serah. When he arrived there, he blew a trumpet in the hill country of Ephraim, and the Israelites went down with him from the hills, with him leading them. "Follow me," he ordered, "for the Lord has given Moab, your enemy, into your hands." So they followed him down and took possession of the fords of the Jordan that led to Moab. They allowed no one to cross over. At that time, they struck down about 10,000 Moabites, all vigorous and strong. No one escaped. That day, Moab was made subject to Israel, and the land had peace for 8 years. After Ehud came Shamgar, son of Anath, who struck down 600 Philistines with an ox goad. He too saved Israel. Before we move on, I just wanted to comment that we may not be scholars about Judges when the book of Judges is completed in our Project 119, but we will know a pattern. There's this pattern here. Remember in verse 12, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. And then what happens? Then they're subject to someone else. In this case, it's the Moabites. And then after that, they cry out to the Lord. Look at verse 15. And what does God send them? He sends them a deliverer. This is just a picture of what is going to happen most fully in our Lord Jesus. He sends the ultimate deliverer for us, who can deliver us not just from human adversaries, but from the ultimate adversaries of sin and death. And so we give you praise, Lord God, for your deliverance. That was an interesting read, was it not? A lot of imagery there about the king, Eglon. All right, let's move on to the Psalms. Today we're reading Psalm 129. A song of ascents. They have greatly oppressed me from my youth. Let Israel say, they have greatly oppressed me from my youth. But they have not gained the victory over me. Plowmen have plowed my back and made their furrows long. But the Lord is righteous. He has cut me free from the cords of the wicked. May all who hate Zion be turned back in shame. May they be like grass on the roof, which withers before it can grow. A reaper cannot fill his hands with it, nor one who gathers fill his arms. May those who pass by not say to them, "The blessing of the Lord be on you. We bless you in the name of the Lord." Okay, we're moving over to the book of Matthew, chapter 19, starting in verse 13, and we'll read through the end of the chapter. On the way to work this morning, I was listening to Ann Wilson, and one of her songs talks about the red letters jumping off the page and talking about Jesus's speech. And here I notice in this passage, lots of red letters. So I'm excited to read for some of Jesus's comments. Then people brought little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and pray for them. But the disciples rebuked them. Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." When he had placed his hands on them, he went on from there. Just then a man came up to Jesus and asked, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life?" "Why do you ask me about what is good?" Jesus replied. "There is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, keep the commandments." "Which ones?" he inquired. Jesus replied, "You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not give false testimony, honor your father and your mother, and love your neighbor as yourself." "All these I have kept," the young man said. "What do I still lack?" Jesus answered, "If you want to be perfect, go, sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Truly I tell you, it is hard for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of heaven." And when the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and asked, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Peter answered him, "We have left everything to follow you. What then will there be for us?" Jesus said to them, "Truly I tell you, at the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or fields for my sake will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first." Thank you for listening along as we read God's Word together. It is Missions Monday, and so today we want to be focusing in on one of our ministry partners, You may remember that the whole month of October, we're going to be talking about Restoration Academy. I just want to give you some figures about Restoration Academy. They have 370 students who were enrolled in 2021, 13 in their graduating senior class last year, 8 students who made a profession of faith, and 21 who made a recommitment to their faith. And so today I just want us to pray for the students who have made professions of faith and for all the students to renew their minds. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for Restoration Academy, this wonderful partner in ministry. We pray for every single student, 370 or more of them. You know them by name, Lord. We thank you for the seniors this year. We pray for them as they think about preparations for the future. We ask, Lord, your blessings on them, especially those who have made professions of faith this year. Would you help them to grow in their knowledge and their love for you? Would you help them and us to understand that obedience to your word brings joy? We pray, Lord, for the students who have made recommitments, and we ask that you would continue to renew their hearts and their minds as they seek you through your Spirit and because of Jesus Christ, our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen.